As a pastor of Crossroads Fellowship, I wear many hats. One of them being the master of the thermostat, which can be a good thing. All right, now when people start getting cold, y'all going to have to snuggle up. That's just the way it's going to be. I put it on a cool 67. All right, awesome. Well, in case you missed it, today is Mother's Day. Okay? Yeah, so you can catch up on that later. But I'll be the first to proclaim to you on this day, ladies, you put up with a lot. Because truly, it requires the patience of a saint to be a mom, but not just a mom, but a wife. Ladies, if you have a husband, you put up with a lot. I'm just telling you right there. We know that. I read this week about a mother who took her precious little four-year-old daughter to the doctor's office, and as she and the little girl were waiting in the waiting room, she was trying to keep her occupied, because you guys know how it is when you have little ones in a confined space and you want them to be quiet. It's those moments that they just can't be. And so she tried to find whatever tools at her disposal to keep her little girl, her precious little girl, occupied, and she found one of those Bible story books. You guys know the kind that's in every doctor's office? I don't know who puts those there, but they're everywhere. And so she pulled out the little Bible story book, and she opened it up, and she pointed it at one of the pictures and asked her mother, asked who was in it, and she was thrilled when she knew. And the little girl was recognizing pictures. She pointed it at a picture, and she said, "Oh, that's Noah in his ark." And oh, she was so proud, and she pointed to the picture of Moses at the burning bush. She said, "Oh, that's Moses at the burning bush." And she recognized Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And I mean, she was knocking it out of the park. She was getting all of them right. And the mom noticed across the room there were a couple of elderly ladies that were watching them, and so swelling with pride. Because mom was swelling with pride, she turned to the very first picture in the picture book Bible. Of course, it was a picture of Adam and Eve, and she stuck her tongue in her cheek and says, "Honey, who is that one right here?" And the little girl looked, and she pulled the book closer, and she looked, and she said, "Mama, I don't know who that woman is, but that fella, he's George of the Jungle." And so there went pride, right? Pride was gone. Read about another mother who ran frantically, and some of you parents are really going to relate to this, ran frantically into her son's bedroom because she heard her seven-year-old son screaming, just screaming his lungs out. It sounded like he was in agony and pain, and when she stepped through the door, she found him laying face down on the bed. His two-year-old sister was straddled of his back right across his shoulder blades, and she had both hands intertwined in his slightly long hair, and she had his head pulled back like she was riding a dragon or something. And it's like his neck was going to pop, and he's just screaming his head off, you know, "Help me." And so she disentangled the little girl from his hair, and he's still crying, and she's like, "Honey, I'm so sorry, but it's okay, though. Look, Sissy didn't know. Sissy did not know. That hurts you. Do you understand?" He's like, you know, and he's, y'all know when they cry, when they get in the, you know, the breath sucking stage, and he's kind of in recovery, but he's still kind of sobbing. And she's like, I know, Mama. She doesn't know. I know. I realize she doesn't know." And Mom was like, she's so proud that he just understood. And so she said, "All right, now you two play and get along." And so she turned and walked out of the room, and she was all the way down the hall walking through the door of the kitchen when she heard the two-year-old screaming, just screaming hysterically. And she takes off running, and she finds the two-year-old sitting on the bed holding her head like this, and the little boy is standing there by the bed with his arms crossed. And she said, "What happened?" And he goes, "Well, she knows now." Right? Mothers, you're saints, all of you, for putting up with all of us, the stuff that you must endure at the hands of your children and your husbands. And today's your day. Unfortunately, it's one of the most commercialized days on the American calendar. That means men buy a lot of stuff in an effort to buy you off. That's what's going on. We know that's just kind of that's how it is. But I hope that today might be a blessing for all of you ladies, whether you are mothers or not. This is a special day because it's a day when we can set aside to pay attention to the women in our lives, be it our wives, our mothers, sisters, daughters. This is a special day for ladies. You know, most people don't realize how Mother's Day as a tradition began. It started in the United States in the year 1905, and it was all begun by a single woman named Anna Jarvis. She wanted to have a day of remembrance for her mother, and she eventually petitioned the government to recognize the day, and it was granted as a holiday in 1914. And in its earliest days, Mother's Day was commemorated by going to church, which is a great thing, and by writing letters to one's mother. Even if their mother had passed, it was a measure of writing a letter and perhaps taking it to the cemetery or putting it in the family Bible or in a special place. But it quickly became commercialized to the point that Mrs. Jarvis, the lady who started it all, she protested it very enthusiastically, and eventually she filed a lawsuit to try to stop all what she considered the crass commercialization of Mother's Day. Of course, she lost in that endeavor, and Mother's Day has become a part of Americana, and it's become one of the most revered holidays in our culture. In fact, it rivals only Valentine's Day and Christmas with just the sheer amount of money spent on things and stuff to be given away as gifts. I tend to think that most ladies really don't want a lot of stuff on Mother's Day, because we're a stuff society, right? I mean, we're a materialistic society, but I kind of think that the ladies in our lives would prefer some other things, maybe some intangible things. So guys, kids, maybe we all need to get a little bit more creative than just running down to the dollar store and grabbing something. You know what I mean? We need to be more thoughtful than that. Now, church, I want to ask you a question. It's a theological question, really, but it gets us into the realm of where we need to be today. Do you think that Jesus loved his mother? Do you? What would make you think that Jesus loved his mother? How do you know that he truly, deeply, honestly honored and loved the woman who birthed him and who raised him up? I mean, can you imagine what a job that was? Being the woman selected to bring up the very Son of God. That's an amazing thing. How do you know he loved her? Oh, sure. Right. Well, I mean, that he was the author of, right? You know, I mean, hey. He was also the oldest son, which in that culture was a big deal. And from the context, it seems that as an adult, Joseph passed away somewhere along the line. We don't know where, so he would have been left with a lot of responsibility in that area. Well, we know, we can actually see, and you may have forgotten about this before, but we see the depth of love that Christ had for his mother from the cross. You realize that even as he hung on the tree, as he hung out there naked, bearing all the sins of mankind, redeeming us with his blood, enacting his Father's redemption plan, he was still thinking about his mother, still concerned about his mother. I invite you to look at the words of John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. This is Jesus on the cross. It said, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. You see the depth of that love? Who was this disciple that Jesus loved, by the way? It was John. John, I don't know what it was in John. He was trying not to be prideful or whatever. But he just didn't name himself by name, but he named himself in the third person. But Mary, the mother of our Lord, is standing watching her son being crucified. And she's standing there probably with John with his arm around her, consoling her. And Jesus looks down and he wants to make sure that she's cared for. She's got other sons, but you got to realize those other sons don't have anything to do with Christ and the faith just yet. You know, James is one of them. Now, he turns around later on. There was a time when his family came to collect him, Jesus. They kind of thought he wasn't right. You know, and so I don't know how alone he was even at this moment, but his mama was there. His mother was there with him, and he wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. What an amazing, deep love. And we can learn so much from the heart and from the actions of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, my mama's going to be with the Lord. It's hard to believe. My mama died 19 years ago. Just hard to believe. And I have an old picture, Mother, I want to show you first, because some of you haven't seen my mama. That up at the top, it says, made at school 1949. That was the beginning of her senior year in high school. And that her name was Velma Ruth Williams. And that's my mama. Can you see the resemblance at all? I don't know. Everybody says I look more like my daddy than my mama. If you can see, my niece looks, it's like her clone. It's her twin. But I miss her. Now, we had a tumultuous relationship. Here's the picture, actually, that I remember more. That's mama as I knew mama as a boy growing up. But we had a pretty tumultuous relationship. There was no one on planet Earth who could get under my skin like my mother. You know what I mean? And some of you know what I'm talking about. She eyed everything critically. She did not trust or like any of my friends. She kept tabs of all of my movements. She knew things that I did before I did them. She knew. If she disapproved about anything in my life, I did not have to wonder because she told me that she disapproved of it. And usually she did that in front of my friends. My mama would have me burn off $5 worth of gas to save $1.50 in coupons at like 6 different stores. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It drove me insane. It really, really, really did. I mean, drove me crazy. I remember thinking, I had these moments when I dreaded. I knew I needed to call my mama, and I didn't want to call my mama because I knew what it was going to turn into. And she drove me nuts, and I wish I had every single moment of it back. I wish I had every moment of it back. All I have now are pictures. I have memories. I have all my memories, and I have pictures. I did not get to be with my mother when she passed. It was unexpected. I was actually at the movies. Kim and I were at the movies, and I got a phone call in the middle of a movie that my mama was gone. And so I have, you know, with my mom, I have a lot of regrets. I do, and I kind of wish I had me a do-over. But we don't get do-overs, do we, my friends? I mean, we don't. You don't make those pictures go away. That's why we, as a people of God, need to strive to get things right the first time. Christians like our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to value the women in our lives. We must honor our wives. We must honor our mothers. We must not be distant. We must not be detached. We must try not to be aggravated by our mothers. We shouldn't ignore them. Certainly until we need something like money or a babysitter, which is kind of what we do sometimes. Friends, we've got to be different. Christians, we have to be different. Jesus reminded us today, what we just read, of some pretty important lessons that we need to remember with regard to honor and care and love for our mothers. Because, see, they, our mothers, our wives, these women, these incredible women in our lives, whether it's your mother or whether you're married to her or whether you're raising her up and she's going to be a woman someday. Guys, I'm kind of talking to you today in case you hadn't figured that out. They are gifts from God, like these children we dedicated this morning are gifts from the Lord, and we need to make absolutely sure that they know how much they're valued, that they know how much they're loved. And that's kind of why I'm calling this message today, For the Love of Mom. And I want us to pray, and I want us to consider this special love that we need to be living out and putting on display for these ladies in our lives. So let's pray. Y'all just pray with me. Father, today is Mother's Day. Lord, it's like a cultural holiday in our nation, but it's also an opportunity for us as your church to reflect biblically upon the amazing women who fill our lives. And God, I know that this is a tough day. This is a tough day for some. There are people and women who hurt on this day. Not every woman is a mother. There are mothers amongst us who have lost children and suffered the most unimaginable hurt that a mother can endure. There are those of us who have lost our mothers and missed them so very much. And I know it's tough. And God, I just want to pray that you would help me to navigate all of this today, and so that everyone will be edified, and so that love will be lifted high and redeemed. I pray that you'll enable me to teach this message and help it to just transcend the whole notion of motherhood. Make it, Lord, a message that reminds us about the innate value, the worth of every single woman and of every human being. But since it is Mother's Day, let today be about our ladies. Teach us, Lord, how we can truly value and honor and love our wives and our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Let us be a church that will lift high the banner of biblical womanhood. Let that notion guide all of our study and guide all of our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you this morning. You probably see, if you turn on the back of that worship guide, you're going to have several blanks to fill in here in just a little bit. And I'm going to be talking about some biblical ways that we need to be loving these ladies in our lives. We know how valuable the women in our lives are. We believe in the value of mother and the value of our wives. But what do we do with it? How do we make sure that we show it? How can we be different? And make any changes that we need to make in the way that we relate to these women in our lives? How can we make sure that they know, that they know, that they know that they are truly valued, that they're truly loved? And so I want to challenge you, church, men and women, sons and daughters, to love these ladies in some very specific ways. And so I want you to list them out. Here we go. You ready? Here's number one. Guys, children, we got to love them verbally. Please write that down, verbally. Y'all know what that means, right? That means words. Spoken, or maybe written words. If you really want to go romantic, guys, written words, it still works. It still works. And I'm not talking about sending her an email either, you know what I mean? But the written word. Lots of men have a philosophy. They have a philosophy, and it kind of has different manifestations, but it kind of goes like this. I don't have to say I love you. You already know it because I said it before. Men think this way. I'm not kidding. Or they kind of think this way. Hey, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Right? or some guys will say this. Well, I show love. I don't say it. I don't have to say it. I show love. And while that very well may be true, although I doubt it, we need to understand that the women in our lives process things through their ears. Women as a species are verbal, and they need to hear these words, and they need to hear them regularly. They need to hear them often. I love you. You remember what Jesus said to his mother in John 19:26 when he looked down from that cross and he spoke to her? He said, "Dear woman." He didn't say, "Yo, mama." Right? He didn't say, "Hey, you, woman, lady, woman in the crowd." No, he spoke to his mother with love and tenderness. He loved his mother with his words because he couldn't do it with his arms from that cross, could he? All he had was the spoken word, and sometimes we need to realize that the spoken word is powerful, and it means a lot. The true tragedy is that some of us just fail to love with our words, but even worse than that, we can actually hurt with our words. Sometimes we choose to be mean with our words. We can be unkind and we inflict great damage. I've seen people who, when they talk to or talk about their mother, they automatically shift into this kind of anger voice, into this voice of disrespect. But folks, God takes that kind of stuff seriously. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, he does. Look at what God said in Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in deep darkness. That's bad. That's not a good thing. That's talking about snuffing your light out. You know what I'm saying? God holds high the value of respect for our parents. You know, in the year 2000, Dear Abby received a letter, and I have a picture of a couple, if you put that on there for me. Fellow wrote this in his letter. He said, "I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route to the Philippines, they fell to the Japanese, and we were rerouted to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful Australian girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R from New Guinea, I did. And after more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. While Mary was still alive, she would frequently say, "You don't know how much I love you." And I would so often reply with one word. I would just say, "Likewise." But I never really said, "I love you." And as my dearest was dying, and we thought that she was actually in a coma, I leaned over and told her, "There aren't enough words for me to tell you how much I love you." And a few hours later, she opened her eyes, looked right at me, and whispered, "Not enough words." And then she died. And he said this in his letter, "Friends, don't let another day slip by without saying these words, because you don't know how many more opportunities that you're going to have to say these words." Isn't that right? You know, we don't often think this way, and the older I get, the more I'm thinking this way. When Kim and I part ways in the morning, when she goes her way and I go mine, lately it's just really sinking in. I want to make the most of that before she goes somewhere, because the reality is that could very well be the last time we ever see one another. You know? Every time we're separated and apart, that could be the last time that we see one another. Anytime you go any separate way from that loved one in your life, it could be the last time. Make the most of every time. Amen? Make the most of every moment. Make the most of every single word. Men, children, love her verbally. Secondly, number two, love her physically. Physically. Because touch is a powerful thing. Jesus lived the power of touch, the power of the embrace. We know in Mark 10:13, it said people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. You remember the disciples rebuked him for it, and Jesus was like, no, let the little children come unto me, right? I mean, he wanted to touch and bless children. In the story of Ruth, we see the love and the power of Ruth as she clung to her mother-in-law, Naomi. In verse 14 of chapter 1, says, "Again they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." There's nothing that substitutes for the power, for the need that we have for human touch. We know in scriptures that touch even had the power of healing with our Lord. Mark 5:28, there was a woman that she said this, for she said, "If I'll just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Just to touch his cloak, and I'll be healed." Touch is powerful. It's a powerful thing. I knew this, and I've told you a little bit about my mother, but I knew this in the life of my mother. I knew how powerful her touch was for me. I'm almost 54 years old, and I still remember. I used to get strep throat once a month as a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, I was that kid. But Mama had this philosophical thing about taking my tonsils out, like that wasn't going to happen. I don't know. So I kept strep throat. I mean, I get sick. It was like you could set your watch by me. And I remember those nights of burning up with fever. And I still remember the feel and the smell of my mother when she cradled me in her arms. I remember the feeling of my head being tucked up underneath her neck right here. And I remember the feel, the touch of my mother holding me. And then it goes the other way as well. For as long as I can remember, my mama had a skin condition, and some of you are familiar with it. It's called psoriasis. And she basically, her skin grew too fast in places. And so she would have these plaques, they call them, where her skin would grow really fast, and she would have these little patches. She had some on her face. She had them all over her body. And she was kind of self-conscious about it. My mom was always hot. She's very hot natured, so she's burning up all the time. But she would wear these long sleeve things with lace on her arms so that people wouldn't stare at her arms, because I'd seen it before. I saw how people looked at it, because I see people look and they're like, "Oh gosh, you got leprosy or something." They're scared they're going to catch whatever it is you have. And people were terrified by it, and I wasn't. And I remember she tried to treat that. She used steroids and all these things that the doctors gave her. And I remember as a kid, as a boy, 9, 10 years old, coming home from school and mom had just had a miserable day. And I would use some of that cream. I would like rub it on her back and back of her places that she couldn't reach. And she was just, she would cry. She would weep. She was thankful that I would do that for her. And it was the power of my little 9-10-year-old touch. Just, I wasn't healing her or anything, you know what I mean? But I was, because she needed that human touch. She needed that contact. We need it. Tell me this, when was the last time, if you still have your mother with you, when was the last time you hugged your mother, or guys, when was the last time you hugged your wife without her asking for it? When was the last time you just sat there and held her hand? Children, when was the last time you touched or hugged your mother or grandmother without being asked, without being bribed, you know, without being guilted into it? Children, you need to understand something the next time you get frustrated with your mother, the next time you consider speaking to your mother disrespectfully. You need to understand that your mother was the first person who ever truly loved you or touched you. Of course, she wrapped you up in her womb for many months. Her first priority when you were born was to cuddle you, to stroke your head, to rub your feet, to give you a finger to grasp. She loved you so much that she would lick her hand, her finger, and groom you. Right? Get that stray hair. They say mom spits the same as Formula 409. It can clean anything. It can put anything back in place, right? Your mother changed your filthy diapers. She potty trained you no matter how hard it was. She held Kleenex for you to wipe your little nasty, snotty nose. She wiped food off of your face for many more years than she probably should have. She constantly, constantly touched you. And she deserves your touch. And I assure you, it means more to her than flowers. It means more to her than candy. It means more to her than a meal out, maybe even a diamond necklace. I don't know your mother. But it means a lot. But make sure, children, guys, make sure you take time to love her physically. Thirdly, number three, love her patiently. Patiently. There's a love chapter in the Bible, in case you didn't know it, 1 Corinthians 13. We read it today, every wedding we do. And in verse 4, it says that love is patient. Right? Now, what does that mean? How do you love someone patiently? You don't know, do you? How do we love someone patiently? It's okay, you can talk back. This is the part where you talk back. Avoid yelling. Okay. Yelling at your children? Well, that's kind of an extreme illustration, Drew, but it's a good one. That's a really good thing to avoid, yeah, right? But how else do we love patiently? Have you ever noticed that we get impatient, we lose patience more quickly on the people that we're supposed to love the most? You ever notice that? Man, we tolerate stuff from coworkers. We tolerate stuff from friends and stuff like that. But we got a hair trigger when it comes to husband, wife, or child. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We just, boom, you know, just like one little thing. And once that negativity ball gets rolling, it's like it's rolling downhill and it keeps on rolling. It just builds and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we got to be different than that. We've got patience is indeed a virtue, and it's one that's not as common as it ought to be, especially in the home. And we think, you know, I guess it goes back to that line of thinking that, hey, they love us, so they know me. And so they put up with it better. But, you know, sooner or later, they get tired of putting up with it. So we have to choose to be different. We have to choose patience. We all need to remember that the women in our lives, guys, children, they do an incredible job without pay. They do. There's no position in the business world that compares to the physical, to the emotional, to the spiritual commitment of being a wife and or a mother. And yet, in spite of all that these ladies do for us, we seem to be so quick to become impatient with them. We get so used to them taking care of things that we expect them to take care of things. And kids, we become outraged when, oh, these clothes are still dirty. Why are these clothes still dirty? You didn't iron my favorite shirt. You know, we scold. Why didn't you make my favorite cookies? You know I like gravy with that. Where's the gravy? You know, guys, am I ringing some bells? You know what I'm talking about. She does stuff. Kids, like, pick you up from school so you won't have to ride the bus, and then you scold her if she's 5 minutes late or if she comes in the car that you don't want to be seen in. You know? Children, husbands, you have to love these women patiently. Just because she is tender to your needs does not mean that you need to take advantage of her, ever. It's all the more cause to be patient with her and to love her. Teenagers especially. I just got to speak to you. I was a youth minister for a long time, but teenagers especially, it makes no sense, but it's universal. But teens, it makes no sense that you are more kind and more considerate and more patient with your friends than you are with your mothers. And yet we act that way. So often we do that. For some of you, your mothers put up with you just because they love you. Because seriously, if your mothers didn't love you, there'd be a lot of teenagers like living in the yard and eating bugs and stuff. You know what I mean? But you're not, but because they love you. And we need to remember that. We need to remember just the humble debt of gratitude, of love that we owe these people in our lives. As adults, many of us take these bad patterns of behavior with us into adulthood. And so friends, please keep loving your mother. Guys, love your wives. Love her patiently. Number four, love her attentively. Attentively. Think about it. Your mother always listened to you as you poured out your heart. She's always had a sympathetic ear. She's always listened. She's always been on your side. You know, years ago they did this study, and it was pretty funny actually. They did a study of moms whose sons were on death row. That means they were awaiting execution for a capital crime. And in 99% of the cases, the mothers of these capital offenders awaiting the death penalty would always proclaim, "He's just a good boy." And you would tell them, well, but he murdered 37 people with an axe. And the mother would still say, yeah, but he just really has a good heart. Why would she say that? Because she's the mother. Folks, mom's always on your side. It's no wonder we like to talk to her and she listens, but we ought to understand that as mothers get older, in their older years, they have issues. Sometimes it's our turn to listen. Sometimes we need to listen, and it kind of turns a little bit into payback time, because some of you say, but mama always complains about stuff. She's always talking about herself, and she asks the same questions over and over and over again. Yeah, like you did. Right? So it's time for a little attentiveness. It's our turn to be attentive. We have a beautiful picture of a man being attentive to the needs of his mother right there in Jesus. Remember his words from the cross, verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." Even as he suffered on the cross, he was worried about the needs of his mother. He looked past his own problem, his own suffering, his own pain. He pushed all that aside and locked in on the needs of his mother. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, as you celebrate your mother or your wife or your daughter or your grandmother today, make sure that you're living a life pattern of loving her attentively, paying attention. Because, guys, this is where a lot of us go off the rails. We quit paying attention. And it destroys marriages. It destroys homes. We have to be attentive to the needs of these people in our lives. Number five, we got to love her gratefully. Gratefully. I read this week about a teenager who didn't want to be seen in public with her mother. It's because her mother, her arms were horribly disfigured and scarred, just beyond recognition as human skin. It just didn't even look like human skin anymore. And she didn't like to be seen with her mother in public. She was just that way about it. And she didn't know what had happened to her mother. She kind of didn't care. Her arms were horrid. She was embarrassed by it. And one day, her mother actually, she was with her mother at the store, and she reached out to get something from a shelf, and her arm came out of her sleeve, and the teenage girl saw the look of the clerk that was standing there. She saw the look of just shock and just kind of just that awkwardness on his face, and she was so embarrassed. She fled the store. She went out to the car and just didn't want to stay in there with her, and when she got in the car, the girl went off. She said, "Mom, you embarrassed me so badly. I can't believe you just showed your arm to that man." And I mean, she was just screaming. She was berserk. And of course, the mom was hurt. And they drove home in silence. And the mother actually waited for about an hour while her daughter stewed in her room. And she finally went in there and says, "Honey, I've never had cause to tell you what happened to me, but would you like to know what happened to me?" And she said, "No, I don't really want to know." She said, "Well, you're going to find out what happened to me." He said, "When you were a baby, when you were 4 months old, I woke up one night to our house on fire, and a fire broke out in the walls of your nursery and the wiring, and your room was engulfed in flames. And I could have gotten out the door, but I decided that I'd rather die than to lose you. And so I went through the flames. I picked you up out of your bed that was on fire. I wrapped my arms around you, ran back through the flames. When I went through the door, my clothes caught on fire. My nightshirt caught on fire and melted to me. It's polyester. And when I got outside on the lawn, the pain was agonizing, and they had to pry my arms apart to get you out. But everyone rejoiced when we saw that the flames didn't touch you at all. I took all of that burn and covered you. And so, honey, my arms are ugly. They are, and they're grotesque. And they're that way because they're the arms that carried you out of a burning house when you were an infant." And she'd never heard this story before. And she was absolutely stunned. And she looked at her mother with brand new eyes. And she started to weep in shame and to weep in gratitude. And she grabbed her mother's hand and she kissed her scarred hands and arms. Now, obviously, precious few of our mothers have done anything such as that, so heroic. But we still owe these women in our lives a debt of gratitude. We could never begin to count all of the hours spent at work to pay the bills, or the meals that mom has fixed, or the diapers changed, or the sleepless nights rocking, or the rooms cleaned, baths given, loads of laundry done. The bottom line is this: you owe her. Husband or child, you owe her. You owe her big time. The writer of Proverbs 23, verse 22, gives some very sage advice. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old." See, far from despising our mothers, we should love them gratefully. We've all heard the saying, "Don't look a gift horse in the mouth," right? Well, I'm certainly not comparing our ladies to horses. Don't get me wrong. But when I do that, but we do not need to look that gift horse of love in the mouth, do we, guys? Do we, kids? Sometimes we assume so much. Sometimes we take these precious ladies for granted, and we should give them a sincere thank you every single day. You need to love her generously. That's number 6. Love her generously. Jesus was generous, wasn't he? In verse 27, he said, "Here's your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus provided for the well-being, for the care of his mom in the midst of trial and struggle. And that's a generous love, and that's a pattern of love that we need to be willing to follow today. You need to remember that there is nothing too good for your mother. There's nothing, guys, that is too good for your wife. I found this story years ago, and I know I've shared it before because it was so familiar to me, but here it goes again. During math class, an elementary teacher asked a little boy this question. She says, "If there are 10 people at your table for dinner and one apple pie, how much does each person get?" And the little boy said, "1/9. And she said, "Honey, I don't think you understood the question, okay? You obviously don't know your fractions." He says, "Oh, no, you obviously don't know my mama. Because if there's 10 people at the house and only one pie, then mama ain't going to eat any. She's going to give it to everybody else." And that's right, isn't it? Folks, we can never repay them. But until we're dead and gone from this earth, we need to never stop trying. Amen? My friends, as you were growing up, your mother went without so that your needs could be met. Well, now it's time sometimes for us to do without so that the needs of these ladies can be met. Stop thinking about yourself. So, you know, clear your schedule, pick up the phone, write a note, love her generously, whatever it takes. And then one more way you need to love your mother, love your wife, love that daughter, love that sister, love her honorably. Number 7 is honorably. Paul told us in Ephesians 6, verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." This command to honor your father and your mother does not go away when you leave home. Okay, it doesn't. Honor doesn't end just because you grow up and go somewhere. This is a different command. This is binding. It has built into it a promise. Why? Well, because God wants our parents. He wants our mothers. He wants the women in our lives to be honored and held to the highest esteem. And He blesses us when we do that. He blesses us when we obey. And I'm convinced that He does the opposite, maybe even curses us when we don't. Because this is His expectation. So when you go home today to celebrate Mother's Day, whether it's for your wife or for your mother or for your daughter or maybe all three, make sure that you're loving honorably. Make sure you give that woman in your life the place of honor that God demands and that she deserves. I found a circulating letter. I normally don't like these. But every now and then I come across a gemstone. I really do, just a jewel. And I found this on Tuesday, and I've been saving it up all week. I thought that we would finish with this today. And it's called "For You, Mother." And here's how it goes. "This is for all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf full of Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, 'It's okay, honey. Mommy's here.' This is for all the mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers still in their purse. This is for all the mothers who froze their buns off on metal bleachers at football or soccer games so that when their kids ask, 'Did you see me?' they could say, 'Of course, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world.' This is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies. And for all the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't bring themselves to do it. This is for all the mothers who read Good Night Moon twice a night for a year and then read it again just one more time. This is for all the mothers who taught their children to tie their shoelaces before they started school and for all the mothers who instead opted for Velcro. This is for all the mothers whose head turned automatically when a little voice calls out mom in a crowd even though she knows her kids are at home. This is for the mothers whose children have gone astray and they can't find the words to reach them. This is for the mothers who bite their lips sometimes until they bleed when their 14-year-old decides to dye their hair green. This is for the mothers who give birth to babies that they'll never see. And for the mothers who took those babies and gave them homes. This is for the mothers at heart who wanted to be mothers of children, but for whatever reason, for some reason, for God's reason, they could not. This is for mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is for mothers of children with severe limitations. Your freedom has been exchanged for cherished service of love. This is for those who have lost their mothers and who would give anything just to take them out to lunch today. This is for young mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation and for mothers learning to let go. This is for working mothers, stay-at-home mothers, single mothers, married mothers, mothers with money, mothers that need money. This is for all of you, ladies. Just hang in there. You're doing a good job. We now realize that home and mothers are the things that catch us when we fall, and every one of us fall from time to time. Can we pray together? Father, we come to you this morning grateful for the godly women who have had influence upon our lives. And on this day that we know and celebrate as Mother's Day, we give thanks to our Heavenly Father for placing women of strength and love in our lives. And I pray on this day that these women who surround us will know how much they mean to us. I pray that we will all choose this day to demonstrate our faith and love for Christ in the way that we honor and we treat our mothers, our wives, our sisters, our daughters, our grandmothers. May this be a day of love and blessing that brings honor to you. And we pray that together in the most perfect name of all, the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would look on the back of that welcome card that's in your worship guide, this has been a family-oriented message. This has been a discipleship thing. This has been about learning how to treat one another. And so it hasn't been particularly evangelistic at all. And that's okay. But if you have questions about how you can have a personal relationship with Christ, we'd love to talk to you. I would like to sit down and talk to you about that. So you just write down whatever you need to on the back of that card. If you have questions about our church, how to be a part of this church, our stand on baptism, Lord's Supper, any of these things, there are boxes there. If nothing works, just write a note so that we can follow up with you. But we'd like to try to help you answer some questions that you might have. And also know that we don't have all the answers, but we do know the one who has all the answers, and his name is Jesus. And so we'd be happy to introduce you to him, and then we'll spend the rest of our lives fleshing the other stuff out, okay? That's how discipleship works. So you just let me know what's on your mind. Write those things down, and I do have a closing thought, okay? And you can probably read this one. You probably knew that this was coming already or something like it because I've already mentioned it a time or two. But it's simply this: when our loved ones are gone, it's too late to say the things that we need to say and things we want to say, right? So don't waste a single moment. Don't waste them. Folks, it is all about people, isn't it? Man, that's something. The older I get, the more I'm just going, it's about the people. It's about the people in our lives, about the people that matter to us and the people that we matter to. And we got to be about our people. We got to be the family of God, and we got to treat one another like the family of God. And we got to, so I'm done, I promise. I'm not going to go at it again. You guys are awesome. I was trying, I know this is a tough day for some. Because I don't have mom anymore. My family is who lives with me, and it's hard. And I know there are other things that hurt in the hearts of mothers. And I pray that I've kind of walked that fine line to bring something that would edify everyone. But that's been my goal. That's my heart today. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to lift the ladies up. And so, anyway, that's what I got for you. Thank you for your time and attention. It is offering time. The guys will bring the baskets. Mason he's not computer assisted today. He's going old school. He's going paper on announcements today. So, but thank you for coming with our parent-child dedication. And it's just been a couple years since we did that, but we'll try to make sure we do that on a yearly basis. But you're going to have, pardon? Pictures. Let me explain the picture thing. I've confused everybody. What I would like to do, I'm trying to do an illustration about a little bit about the passage of time and how things change in our lives. My goal is to have graduation photos of you people. Not our new graduates, and not your distant kin that we don't know, but I'm just wanting to have some really fun of semi-embarrassment involving you. Okay? So if you'd be willing to share a graduation picture of you from the 70s are cool, yeah. Some of us are a little bit more 80s, bigger hair, better music. I was telling you, So, but that's what I'm looking for. So if you'll share those with me, and that's just to have some fun, because it's kind of one, we're doing a graduation thing, kind of a graduate-focused message, and we, you know, I guess the ultimate point being to our young people that, yeah, you're going to be old like us one day too. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, you don't get to stay young forever, so figure it out. Some of us are still trying to figure it out. So anyway, that's it. So that's what I'm looking for. So if you'll share those with me, I'd be very, very grateful. Unless you know you want us to see what you look like back in the 70s and stuff. It'd be awesome. So just let us know. Right. Send them to me. Send them privately. Don't put them on Facebook. I want to surprise everybody day of.